My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's WILDE.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is your host, Patricia, and I am so excited to be sitting down today with Florencia Gomez Harbi. Florencia is the founder, co-founder of Green Pacha Hats. It's greenpacha.com. And welcome, Florencia.
Thank you so much, Patricia. It's an honor for me to be part of this podcast.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you here today. For everyone listening, Florencia is joining us from Argentina. So we are doing this podcast virtually, and I'm so excited she made the time to sit down with us today. A quick bio on Florencia and Green Pacha. Since 2010, Argentinian sisters Julieta and Florencia have been working to reformulate the fine Ecuadorian tradition of straw hat weaving. Each hat is hand-woven by gentle hands with natural fibers of the toquilla palm. The hats represent the unique expression of women who live close to nature and raise their families by weaving hats. Based in La Jolla, California, Green Pacha is profoundly rooted in values of sustainability, ethics, and humanity reflected in the hat collections. And they are quoted as saying, "We founded Green Pacha to positively contribute in the beginning of a more sustainable and authentic fashion era." So I am so excited to dive in and get Florencia's feedback. Just a quick roadmap today of how the podcast is going to be structured for everyone listening. We are going to talk with Florencia about her academic background and early professional life. Then we'll drop into the introduction of Green Pacha, its story, and their products. Then we will turn to the current stage of Green Pacha and any growth stories since its launch. We will then turn to goals that Green Pacha has for the next 3 years, revolving around scaling, genre, portfolio expansion, all of those good things. And then we will wrap up the podcast with advice that Florencia may have for those of you listening who are looking to get involved, do what she does, or learn about more about her entrepreneurial spirit and Green Pacha. So Florencia, let's drop right into it. Will you take us straight to your personal and academic background and early professional life?
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in Argentina, and in a coastal city, Mar del Plata, so it's southern Buenos Aires by the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. And so I grew up, you know, like smelling the big waves, and Mar del Plata is very much like the East Coast. It's like four seasons well marked. Mm-hmm. So now we're in springtime here almost. And so I did all my school here. And so when I finished high school, I didn't know what to do with my life. I always like outdoors and traveling. But I started to, following my father's guidelines, I started to study engineer. So I did engineering for like 4 years, and I was good at it, but I didn't see myself as being an engineer. I wanted to be an artist, more like it, but you know, in South America, being an artist is almost not an option. Mm. And so I was like, okay, you know, so I started doing art on the side, meanwhile I was doing the career. But then like my heart said, basta. And then I went on a trip to find myself when I was 21 actually. And I landed in Mexico, and I spent 2 years almost in Mexico City. where I was doing arts and theaters. And
nice.
And one day I was like sitting in the traffic jam in the polluted Mexico district, federal district, and I was like, what am I doing with my life? And then I realized that I wanted to surf. So I came back to Argentina, I started surfing, changed careers, I did communications, I studied dance, and I changed my life in that trip and the direction of it. So my life was more about surfing and being in touch with everything that had to do with the beach lifestyle and traveling. And, you know, every surfer wants to travel. So, I mean, while I was doing my career in communication and I got my degree and everything, I met my husband and he invited me to go to Ecuador. And so that's where actually the first green patch seed started. But yes, okay. That's my background, studying like a little bit of engineering, arts in the middle, traveling. I did my own career, kind of. But I have a communication degree.
Okay. Well, that's a huge, I mean, you had three major pivots, you know, all before you were 30, it sounds like. You've redeveloped and redesigned yourself several times. From engineer to, you know, art in Mexico City to surfing and dance in San Diego. That's like an entrepreneur in training, if you ask me. So let's get into the introduction of Green Pacha. Can you give us a brief overview of what it is? It was launched in 2010, I believe. And can you tell us a little bit about the story and kind of how it all came to be?
Yes, definitely. So after that one trip in Ecuador, we were surfing bass as surfboards. You know, bass is very sustainable in Ecuador, and there's a lot of shapers that do bass as surfboards. So I thought about the green ride, and I wanted to start a company that was green and sustainable. I was already with that idea. Like, if I'm going to do a company and start something, it has to be with a better future in my mind and the vision of that I have for a better future or a better world. So I thought about the green ride. So we started with Balsa Surfboards, and I did that for the first year, and it had another name and everything. But then I met Blake from Toms. You know, remember the brand Toms, the shoes that give back?
Sure. Yep.
Toms shoes. He's amazing. He's amazing. And he gave me a piece of advice about like giving back through the business. So not only being sustainable, but also being ethical and being like thinking about the humanitarian way of doing business. So, and he also mentioned to me, you need to find a name of your company that resonates with more people, not only you. So I was like, okay, good. So I started thinking about, the word Pacha, which is P-A-C-H-A, means Mother Earth in the Inca language. And also, it has another root, which is the Aymara, and it's time. The meaning of Pacha is time. So we started talking about, okay, I'm living in California and in Argentina. So English, Spanish, which this is Quechua, no? But everybody in South America knows what Pacha means, that it means Mother Earth. And so I was like, okay, Green Pacha, like a bridge between the Northern Hemisphere and the North America and South America. Mm-hmm. So that was the name, Green Pacha, which it means green times for us. And it embodies the vision that we have, and it can be embraced from both, you know, like integrates the whole America as one continent. So that was how we started. And then with my sister, she had a baby with an Ecuadorian guy, which is my brother-in-law. And so we were in Ecuador with my mom. My sister, my niece, she was 6 months old, and a friend of ours, she's a professional photographer. And we were going to visit the family in Ecuador in the jungle, where in the Amazon, actually, where my brother-in-law is. And so we were in the coast checking the surfboards, the balsa surfboard that I was already doing for Green Pacha. And this Ecuadorian friend of mine, he says, why don't you go and do the hat path? And I was like, what's that? Well, it's the Panama Hat Trail. The real Panama hats are from Ecuador. Oh, I didn't have no idea. So that's how we started. So we went there, and this Ecuadorians that are like into the hat business, they show us everything. They walk us and they They took us to the little towns where they prepare the straw, where they boil and cut the leaf, and they harvest the palms, and then they prepare everything. And then we flew to another little town where all the weavers live, spread on the mountains, where they weave in their homes or walk in the hills. And these weavers welcome us like family. The first time they saw us, and they just like, with their humble ways of living, they were like super generous to us. They greet us with this amazing food from their gardens.
Nice.
And so it was like, with my sister, we were like, what? And then the leader of that association of weavers connected with me, really cool. And she and her and I started exchanging emails. So we decided to add the hats as well as the surfboards. And then eventually it became just the hats because it's just amazing. And we have been going to Ecuador since then, so 2010 until now. So for 9 years, visiting them, sharing their cultures, and learning from them a lot, co-creating with them, dealing with all the artisan struggles sometimes when you have to do production and everything. But at the same time, and I think the most important thing, we had a lot of fun enjoying them and learning from them. We established like a friendly relationship and very respectful, and they actually gave us the blessings. And in 2017, my sister and I, we got like a little award from them. It was a recognition.
Oh, excellent.
We celebrated for Mother's Day, we go and we celebrate them and everything. And that one year we did a little nice party. We took all the weavers to another Inca ruin, which is sacred for them, and we hosted a picnic with all of them, and they give that recognition to us. So it has been a really beautiful journey in the human side of it. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the story, how we began. And then also there is a lot of different areas that I have been improving. Like, for example, I was not really into fashion, and I started more like in the surf industry because I was from that family. But then I realized that the hat is expensive for the surf industry, so I needed to learn to place in a contemporary industry or more fashion. And so that was like about like 4 years ago when I started studying how to and understand the market, how it works, and moving inside this big industry that is like so competitive and there's so much to learn from. So little by little we make our my goal was to be recognized and dignified, you know, like respected as a small, sustainable but with a big heart company. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are in the right path now. It's like we have good signs in the market that
it's
okay, we're doing good.
Absolutely. So. And when I know that we run in a very similar geography when you are in San Diego, but I think that your hats do have kind of that ethos behind them about the humanitarian and sustainability aspect. I kind of wanted to pepper you about that because we haven't really spoken with Patricia Kithling podcast yet regarding a lot of fashion developers. Your product in particular seems a little bit like delicate in how you would dance around it. I want to know how, when you go to infiltrate the fashion markets, either with collaborations or anything else, how you are addressing, fashion isn't always known, it's becoming more so known for sustainability efforts and things like that, but the Green Pacha hat has so much of that behind it, you know, and dealing with the, and I do want to circle back and talk about the Tokia palm and things like that, but part of its story and its power is that it's this sustainable, beautiful, you know, element that's got these accessory that's got all of these sustainable and natural elements to it. Do you find that when you go to kind of approach over the past 4 years, like you said, you've educated yourself in the fashion industry, when you talk to anyone from distributors to collaborators, do you find the dialogue between the history of the Green Pacha hat and its sustainability and the story of it, do you think that it is coinciding with people that you talk about, or do you have to kind of educate them as to why that's so desirable?
When I have the chance to talk to people and tell the story, they get it right away.
Okay.
The problem is when I don't have, when I don't have the reach, or like, for example, this is a great opportunity for me to tell the story. Once I tell that, people get it. It's like, because it's like, wow. And then the product speaks by itself. You even right. smell the hat, the green patch hat smells like nature. It's so pure and so beautiful. And that's why it has a history even before green patch, even before Columbus came to America, because it was, it's just so novel, the material, the Tokyo palm. It's just like, it's like it brought, the product is like amazing of itself. Panama hats are a classic. Not everybody knows that they come from Ecuador and they have always been made in Ecuador. But it just speaks. So when I add a little bit of the story and my passion for it, you know, it's just like, wow. And when, like most of the time, I will say like 99% people get a green patch hat, they love it. They fall in love. And I know it's a connection with the weaver, because it's like a sweater that a grandma did a handmade for you. You know, that has a little bit of magic in it. Well, this is the same with the hats. When you find the right one, it's just like something that is beyond wearing any hat. So like some people lost it or something like that, and they call me, no, I lost it. I want that one.
Yeah.
And I know I can't exactly replace that one, because that was done by one weaver at some point with eye energy. And so it has that beauty of the handmade, one-of-a-kind product. So it's just, for me, it's just adding words and adjournating something that it's already there in the product.
Yeah, it's a unicorn. I mean, very little fashion is handmade, you know, anymore. And like you were saying, one of a kind, that kind of specificity is so precious in any fashion and accessory industry.
Exactly. It's really hard to find. And for us, it's also one of the main things is like to keep the tradition alive, because the young people, they don't want to learn to weave, because this is a fast world and they prefer to go make money with working, I don't know, Starbucks or something, you know, like from the fast whatever, instead of doing this. So we're trying to make this something like so unique and so they are inspired to weave, because there is work. I mean, and there is, because like Panama hats are back, not only for us, because a lot of people are like adding them into the collections. And it makes me happy, because at the end of the day, there's more weavers weaving, and there is this opportunity not to lose this tradition. There's so many beautiful traditions around the world that are being lost because of this. And it's a pity, because it's just gorgeous and so intricate. And when you see the weavers weave, they weave so fast. Meanwhile, they walk, they talk to you. It's like, it's so effortless for them. And it's just so difficult. I tried once, I was like, whoa, I can't do it. It's really hard. It's really hard. So they are really very skillful.
So getting your word out there in your story, you feel like in the fashion industry, when you're able to actually communicate what the history behind Green Patch is, it kind of speaks for itself. It's all downhill from there.
Definitely. I had the opportunity to work with Julie Gilhart, which is an amazing lady and a consultant in fashion, and she focuses in sustainable fashion. And it was, she's dear to me, and she was like, it was for me an honor to work with her. And in one opportunity, she organized like a little meetings for me to meet editors of magazines in New York. And just for one time, it was enough for me to tell the story to, you know, big editors and big names, and that was like really helpful. And it was just 2 days in New York, you know, like of course with Julie Gilhart, which is huge in fashion, but you know, like, so, and that was kind of like a something that manifested, because I really wanted it. And then a friend of mine introduced me to her, and she was there, and she I could afford to work with her for a little while, but that was enough. And you know, like she's really great. So there's a lot of people in fashion that are doing the right thing. And so I was exposed to some of them, and that was really helpful. So when I was able to put my words and my story out there, that was like, wow,
everything. Well, yes. Reaching into that, so there's so many areas in dealing with fashion and your company, and then also there's areas of importation. When you guys were starting out, Did you, you and your sister, did you know how to deal with a startup that dealt with importation? Were those all new rules? How did you learn about that?
Oh my God. Like try and error.
Yeah.
Well, we learn because we didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. We made a lot of mistakes along the way, but those were the mistakes that forced us to become better. So I never gave up. There were times that were like, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. And we were like crying or fighting or, you know, like not finding the way. But we just like believe so much in Green Pacha. We were so in love with what we were creating. That was stronger. So we didn't give up in the hard times. And we continue. And perseverance, you know, and then find a better way. Like, for example, recently I had a really big deal with the importation. Like, for example, I need to work with a big company that is well known in the US because my client wanted me to work with that specific company. And they refused to pick up the hats from the artisans because they are in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But it's not that they are, I mean, they have associations, they are legal, everything. It's just they live in the middle of the mountains. So it was like safety, not approved or something like that. And that was like, what? You know, that. So I had to like convince my client finally after like, I don't know, weeks of explaining to them, let me do it my way, you know. And well, finally I had to do it my way. There was no choice. And then it worked out. But it was like very, in a moment I was like lost. I was like, what am I going to do? Because I couldn't like make them understand. And this company didn't want to do it. And then the artisans, they cannot change how they do. So it was like, okay. So I didn't give up on that one. And I found it. And then I follow up. And that was the key, to follow up and see what was going on. And constantly following up. And then discovering there were more like, but kept going and say, okay, the universe wants to try me and to see if they really want to do this.
Yeah. And so, double checking your loyalties are at. Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. It's not great, but it's good to know that, you know, I think a lot of people think that once you get the first 25 lessons down in a startup game, you're done. You know, you just can kind of coast, and it's an everyday learning game, I think.
Definitely took a lot of going to Ecuador and meeting people until we find the right ones. And being in Ecuador is like key. My sister is the one that goes most. Also, her daughter goes there a lot for her dad and stuff. So it's just like, it's really, it was really key to be there and get to meet the right people. It's all about relationships.
Right. I can't imagine and building those without having some personal like boots on the ground contact.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. With your collaboration, when you guys first started out, did you do your distribution? Was it strictly online or did you have some retail environment that you jumped into? How does that work?
You're talking about distribution?
Yes.
The distribution has been always the most difficult part, I would say. Because I didn't know. I came to America in my 30s, so I missed some chapters, so I didn't really understood the culture that well to like, you know, like set a brand. And then, as I said at the beginning, I started in the surf industry, so I started in that model, which was like reps. So I hire reps by commission, and they will like add it to the other lines.
Right.
But it was really hard because of the price point. So that didn't work. But little by little, and then again, relationships, like the best accounts I have been opening are like friends of friends, or somebody introduced me to the owners and I could tell the story directly. And that's how we started. But now that we're like a more mature company and I have like learned all my lessons, now we're working with a showroom that is based in London, and it's a fashion sustainable oriented accessory showroom, and it's really good. So now we're reaching those accounts that we always had in the wish list because of with this connection. And also that was like a good timing when she showed up in my life. I met her also personally, and I was ready for her, you know, like also.
Right. Yeah.
So it took me a while to discover how to distribute. It was not an easy journey. I think was the most difficult part for me, because going to Ecuador and working with the weavers, I mean, I speak Spanish, so it was nice. You know, going to Ecuador is always fun. So, but the distribution in America at the beginning was like hard. Really, yeah. Like, wow. That was the most challenging.
It's not just distribution, it's the fashion industry, which is a whole nother level of like exclusiveness, right? It's like, I feel like it's going to be like a tight, difficult to penetrate scene. People talk about having to do your time in the fashion before you get
Yes, you have to, like, there is room. It's a very huge industry. There is room, especially for if you have a passion and you are perseverant and you believe in what you're doing. There is room. It's just, and I think that once you get like some approval, you know, like you have to maintain yourself being creative and just like coping with the details. And so, but I think it's possible, you know?
Well, obviously.
It's very competitive too. I mean, there is a lot of people out there now doing hats. When I started, no one was paying attention to hats.
Right.
And now there's a lot of... I don't know. Well, which is good, you know, the more people use hats, the better.
Because, absolutely. With the skincare issues and things on the rise, 1,000%.
Oh, totally.
Did you, so all these different stages along the way, you had, you know, these, it feels like you kind of did this discovery stage where you found out about the hats, and then you started building this company and importing them, and then, you know, matriculating yourself into the fashion environment and kind of getting them distributed and things like that. Did you have a mentor along the way that kind of advised you as to, you know, what stages you should do next, or was like repercussions and ramifications your mentor? You know, did you learn as you go, but just by yourself, or did you have someone that helped you penetrate any of those industries?
Well, I mean, I think that you always like make things with other people, you know, like alone, nobody, you know, you can. So I had a lot of different helps or advisors in different areas. For example, my husband is a really smart businessman and he's successful in his field. He's in the surf industry. He gave me a lot of advice within like managing a business, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then on the fashion, Julie has been a mentor to me and a dear one. Like she had gave me piece of advice that are like priceless. Then I worked with a few designers and that always gave me like those pieces of advice that are gems that made me, realize those aha moments. So, that also happened to me. And then in my suppliers in Ecuador also, like the same artisans taught me lessons.
That's interesting. Like, you're the first person I've spoken with that talks about like mentorship coming through relationships you developed along the way. I like that. Like that concept that, you know, you kind of took advice in relationships and that all kind of tied into itself. Did you, so let's really, returning back to the beginning of the launch of Green Pacha, did you guys bootstrap? Did you do seed money? Did you take VC funding? How did that work?
Oh, no. No, that was very small. I did a very small investment at the beginning. And I have always, like, I'm Argentinian, so we're, like, very creative about resources. So I never had a big infuse of money. When I needed a little bit of finance, you know, I had found like help. My husband helped me, you know, but little things. But I always try to, like, I don't know. When I was like struggling with red numbers, I would just like, I don't know. I didn't have my office. I moved to my home. I don't need an office actually. And then like I started like being a little bit lighter. And actually that forced me to have the company that I always dream, which is a very light company with not fixed costs. So my computer is my office and I work from wherever I'm in the world because I travel a lot. So that's great. My sister does production and she is based in Argentina. And then she goes to Ecuador when I need her to go to Ecuador. And then Tiara, she does our social media and she's in Bali and she does my social media on the creative part of it from Bali. So it's nice. We have this flexibility because nowadays we can.
Yeah.
And for me, that's why Green Pacha is like a for me, it's like a woman type of company in the sense that it's just feminine, flexible, and it's not heavy. I am like with the, I like to boost the creativity of the people that work with me so they can be on their own and they don't need me to be like supervising everything because I don't like to do that. But every time now and then I have a good talk and inspire them back and just like realign the direction if they're lost or something. But then, you know, and now we're like having this beautiful kind of like free environment, which is like around the world basically.
Yeah.
And so that a little bit like was for to me when I had to like shrink my cost and I was like, okay, I don't need enough. Okay. I don't have enough. So I have like less. So instead of like going and out there and asking for more money, I just like, okay, how can I do with the resources that I have?
Yeah. And your company sounds like your product. It's, you know, it sounds like the hat. It's flexible and free and it breathes and it moves. It's a natural environment.
Yes.
It mirrors each other. That's a very cool concept. That's awesome. So what stage would you say you're in right now with your company? Do you guys think you're still a startup? Are you a toddler? Are you an adolescent?
No.
Where do you think
I think I already learned how to walk. And I think I've already been through the teenage era to like figure out who we are. So I kind of like, I'm a young adult, like a really young adult. Like nice. We just came out from who are we, you know?
Yeah.
And now we know who we are, but we're young. We're young and full of energy. And so that's probably the stage where we are now.
That's an exciting stage. That's one of the best ones, most people say, who start it, right? So what are the goals for the next 3 years? Like the most idealistic goals that you have for Green Pacha on all levels, business and everything in between?
Well, business-wise, I like to grow the company healthy enough and sustainable enough so that I can keep my team happy and I can also hire great team for creating a little bit more in the product side and developing that, like either or other designers or just like to deal with the details. And but also my main important thing is that my team, you know, that can like grow, because I already have the team. I love the people I'm working with. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to be, you know, like able to pay them what they deserve. And it's not that we don't pay, but we like our salaries are small, you know, so like make that a little bit more sustainable for them and grow the company in that one. So it's like more stronger, a little bit stronger in the foundations. And then, I would like to like be the hat for summer, like, oh, I need a beach hat. Okay, Green Pacha. Like, convert that into the world. Like, oh, I need my panel hat is Green Pacha. So, you know, like, you think about a straw hat, you need a Green Pacha because it's light, because it's easy to travel, because it's like, the perfect hat companion for your adventure. Mm-hmm. So, like, place that. And then, like, maybe just incorporating a few other products that are, like, in tune with the hats, so to complete your outfit to the beach, and work on that, and I like to do that in Bali, which I already know what to do and everything, but it's just like it's in the process of creating still. And then I would like to collaborate with other designers. I think that we are about to be in Paris now. It's our debut. We're gonna be in Fashion Week Paris. We are our showroom, and I'm very excited. So my goal for next year is to be myself there. This year, the hats are going without me, but I'm really happy and excited about it. And so hopefully next year I can go and meet some good designer that I admire and do a collab.
Yeah, and you should take me.
For the hat work.
Yes. Hmm? I said, and you should take me. I'm going to Paris with you if you go. Paris Fashion Week sounds like a good time. It always has.
Yes.
I think it sounds fantastic. I love that goal. That's amazing. And I don't doubt that you will obtain it for sure. Okay, so if you walked up to, let's say you were having you were sitting at a cafe having a cappuccino tomorrow, and a young woman walked up to you and said, listen, I'm 30 years old. I started off as an engineer in Argentina, and then I did some art and some stuff in Mexico City, and then I decided, forget it, I'm going to surf in Southern California for a bit. And I really want to get involved in, you know, my own startup and doing things for myself. What are the three pieces of advice that you would give her, given your collective history?
I will let her know, just don't be too much judgmental with yourself. Enjoy the ride and of the process. You got it. You got it inside. Just let it bloom and give it time and room to that. And don't forget to meditate.
Yeah, I agree. Enjoy the ride. Don't forget to bloom and don't forget to meditate. I love that. That's awesome. Well, I usually wrap up every podcast with a bird's eye view into your life. So today is Friday. What are you most looking forward to doing this weekend?
Oh, well, I'm going to have a pijamada, which is like a pijama party.
Nice.
With my daughter and all her cousins. So probably going to go ride horses because it's too cold to surf yet. But ride horses this weekend. That would be a really good idea. And probably see my grandmas, and that I want to take time with them. You know, like I am lucky to have them. And enjoy the beautiful weekend that is going to be sunny here in Argentina, springtime, and it's equinox. So probably see friends and do like some like yummy foods and enjoy life.
That's heaven. You just described my idea of heaven. Is it familia y caballos? How do you say horses? Is that family and horses? That sounds fun. And food, comida. I love it. That's everything.
Comida, caballos y familia.
Yeah, and I just learned pajama party or something close to it, which I now love as well. That sounds like a perfect weekend. You're living the dream. Well, I want to thank you so much for meeting with us today. Everyone who's listening, your website is greenpacha, that's greenpacha.com. And you can get online and find out all about your inventory, as well as read your backstory again, look at some of the really cool photos from around the world with the ambassadors of the people who's working for your company. It sounds like from Bali and all the different photos that you've taken with yourself in these wonderful hats around the world. So everyone should jump on. And Florencia, thank you so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Patricia. It was a pleasure. And I look forward to listening to your podcast and being connected in the future.
Absolutely. And for everyone listening, thank you for joining us. I will circle back around. I'm going to hunt Florencia down because I can do it globally. And I am going to revisit where she's at in a year, and we can find out how Paris Fashion Week is getting set up, because I have no doubt she'll be there. For everyone listening, thanks for joining us and giving me your time. And until next time, remember to always bet on yourself. Sláinte.